Muy buenos días. Your Spanish lesson start. But that's it. My name is Carlos Zazueta. I'm the teaching pastor for the new campus that will open the doors next year, Lord willing, in Bryan Midtown. We call it Grace Midtown. So I'm happy to be here bringing the Word of God in this important day as we celebrate the Advent season. As we prepare our hearts, as we prepare our love for God as a reminder of what Christmas is all about. And because this is the first Sunday of December, Christmas is around the corner. Can you believe it? Can you feel it? I can't. I mean, but Christmas is coming, so it's okay for me to say, Merry Christmas. Or we say in Bryan, Texas, Feliz Navidad, y'all. And you want to continue practicing your Spanish, I will remind many of you that this coming weekend, we're going to have the co-op Christmas at Midtown. This is the first time that we're going to be doing this activity. Actually, this is the first time that I'm going to be participating in this activity, and I'm happy that it chose Midtown Campus to provide a lot of wonderful toys for many kids who will come. So, you know, as you live in this place, there is information in the information desk about what is Christmas co-op. We need a lot of volunteers. You don't have to speak Spanish. You just need to be there, give your hands, bring your family, and serve with us. If you can make it and you would like to donate gifts, there is information here. So this coming week, the 11th and the 12th, we're going to have been serving a lot of people, mainly a lot of Hispanic people. So I'm going to have the privilege to share with them the good news about starting a church in Bryan, Texas, Lord willing, next year. So, speaking of Spanish, it's interesting that everybody knows this song. Yesterday, I was just driving by to drop some of the toys to the Anderson campus, and I was received by a wonderful group of people who were actually caroling from a safe distance and with a mask on. And when they saw me, they started singing Feliz Navidad to me. So I was excited to hear that in my own language, right? But as we come closer to the meaning of the season for all of us, I came across to this quote that really made me laugh, but made me think at the same time. And the quote says like this: all I want for Christmas is to finish my Halloween costume first. It sounds funny, but actually has a lot of great truth on it. Do you think that is happening every year, that we see the Christmas season coming earlier every time? The stores are making an effort to do what they can to come closer and give us this sense of excitement that we can take advantage of the Black Fridays or the Black Cyber Mondays or whatever you want to call them. It's not a problem that they start earlier. The problem is sometimes we get tired of listening to the song. It's like the song of Feliz Navidad. I changed the word. And I'm not going to sing it to you because I don't want to dishonor that beautiful song. But sometimes when I think of the song, instead of singing Feliz Navidad, by the end of the season, I'm thinking, oh, please, not again. Oh, please, not again. Oh, please, not again with that song all over again. No, the reason why we get tired is because what is called the Christmas creep. And some of you may know about the term, but it means commercialization. You know, they not even celebrate what we celebrate at Christmas, but they celebrate the way that they want to make all the money that they can. And with the pandemic time that we're living, they started even earlier. They decided to start even before Halloween. You were going to the stores and you need to choose between a pumpkin and a Santa Claus hat. But the interesting thing happened this year. It went back. It started all, you know, earlier, even in Labor Day weekend. Macy was putting their Christmas decorations on Labor Day weekend. That's a lot. That makes me feel a little bit loco on my head. But before you agree with me and you want to turn like myself in the Grinch who stole Christmas, let me remind you that the prophet Micah was given an announcement 700 years before the actual event happened. He was giving us in Micah chapter 5 a reminder that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, expected in Israel, will come someday. So imagine, that's for me the ultimate Christmas script, the real one, minus all the commercialization. But it's important to remind ourselves what this season is all about. And when we talk about Christmas, we imagine that our children, that sense of expectation of what is coming. They are not expecting the children's program on Christmas Day. They're not expecting the children's Christmas program on Christmas Eve. Nothing like that. They're expecting what happened the day off after they opened those presents. But what I like about that excitement is the sense of anticipation. And that's exactly how we need to start thinking when a time like this comes around at the end of the year. What actually Christmas is all about? We are not expecting Jesus to come because, good news, Jesus came on a Christmas day. He was born in Bethlehem, as we read in the scripture a while ago. But we need to have anticipation for the promise of his second coming, the return of Christ to all of us, so we can be with him for eternity. So we laugh about these things, but we need to concentrate ourselves in what the season is all about, because the best gift that somebody can receive and God can give is the gift of himself. The best gift any person can receive from God is the gift of himself. True peace comes from knowing God's presence is always present. Peace comes through trusting God amid the circumstances. And if we study the book of Micah, this prophet is bringing a lot of stuff for us to unpack. And the reason why many times around Christmas we open the book of Micah, difficult to find, but I'm going to help you. If you open the book of Micah in your electronic devices, it's easier. But if you brought the Bible, the real Bible with you, and it's hard for you to find it because Micah is a small book, only 7 chapters. Go to the middle of the book, to the end of the Old Testament, and go back 7 books and you find Micah. Right there. Easy for you. But Micah, if you can summarize the book, is a book that can be divided in 3 sections. The first one will be a lot of judgment. And then you will see hope. And lastly, you will see pardon. Micah is all about the God of judgment, the God of hope, and the God of pardon. And that's, in a nutshell, is what the message of Micah can tell us. But in the middle of the book, almost in the center of the book, in chapter 5, Micah is reminding us about a wonderful news. That there is a promise that God is giving to his own people. And the people of Israel were expecting the coming from the Messiah for a long time. And we know what waiting means for us. Waiting with expectation. But they went through different circumstances and trials and tribulations. But the Lord is reminding them, be patient. Because a ruler is coming. And he's bringing with him wonderful gifts. And one of those gifts is hope and peace. And that's what Micah 5 is telling us. If you open Micah chapter 5, we will understand why the best gift God can give any person is the gift of himself. Micah chapter 5 can be divided in 2 sections. The first one can tell us about the person of the Messiah that we call Christ. And in only one verse that can be a whole sermon by itself, Micah is telling us of the attributes of the Messiah. On verses 3 to the end of the chapter, we can see the program of the Messiah. What is exactly the plan and the purpose for God the Father to send his own son to be born in Bethlehem? So let's start digging into the Word of God. Let's learn from it. And let's let the Word of God to imprint your heart, your thoughts, but also to let it go down to your heart. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. In the Hebrew Bible, verse 2 is actually the first verse of the chapter 5. But how important is to understand the background? And what you need to know about Micah is the following. First of all, the name Micah means who is like the Lord? Who is the Lord? It's like a question that deserves an answer. The answer to that question has to be no one. Nobody is like the Lord. But Micah was a prophet of Israel, was a prophet in the land of Judah, in the kingdom of the south. He was a contemporary of Isaiah. He was prophesying what will happen to Judah in not many years after. The city of Bethlehem was known as the city of troops because many military troops were stationed outside the boundaries of the city. And something was happening. The kingdom of Babylon was besieging that city. They will be taken in captivity. They will be eradicated from that land. They will be in a foreign land for a number of years. And Micah is reminding them, but in the midst of all the problems, the struggles that you're going to go through, remember, there is one that is coming, and he's going to be born in Bethlehem, in the house of bread, and he will be your peace. That's what we remember in this Advent season. That amidst the problem that we're experiencing right now, not only with the health issue with this pandemic that we're living in, and we're still not understanding what is going on, with the political environment that we're facing, with the problems in marriages and families and everything that is around us, with wars and whatever happening, in the midst of all that turmoil, we can rest assured that God is in control, that he has the whole world in his hands. And we need to remember that. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, after the background, what happened with that little town of Bethlehem, what happened with that little clan of Judah, he's reminding them of something. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. In this verse, we find three of the attributes of the Messiah. Jesus Christ. We found, first of all, his humility. We find his majesty, and then we will find his eternality. That's what I'm telling you. This is a whole message in itself. That's why you only hear from this verse, because the other ones are a little bit more complicated to understand. But when we talk about his humility in verse 2, we read that the Messiah chose to come from Bethlehem. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Ephrathah means fruitful. Bethlehem was very insignificant, a small town, very little. Some of the scholars estimate that the population of Bethlehem was less than 200 people. So that means that this part of the auditorium, it was the entire population of Bethlehem. That was the place that the Messiah chose to come from. He could come from Athens with the intellectuals. He could come from Alexandria. He could come from Rome. Even he could come from Jerusalem. It was 6 miles south, right there. That was the seat of religion for the Jewish people. But no, he chose to come from Bethlehem, that little town, that insignificant little town. Not only was it insignificant, but also was unimpressive. As impressive was that when you read in Joshua 15, when he's naming all the clans, all the families of Israel, all the significant towns of the people of Judah, 115 of them, Bethlehem doesn't receive any mention. It was not even included in the towns that Israel would inherit in the promised land. But the Messiah chose to come from such a place. Never underestimate anyone. You might feel like you are insignificant. You might feel that you are not important. You might feel that you are a nobody. I can tell you one thing. Many times I felt that way. Who will imagine that somebody like myself coming from a small town that if I say the name, you will never gonna guess, and not even in any map from Mexico, you will find my hometown. I will end up here, speaking a different language.
bringing the word of God. So you might feel that way, that you don't count, regardless of where you are from, regardless of who you are, regardless of the family you're coming from, regardless of what you did. I want you to remember this. Christmas is a reminder that you are important to God. That is why he decided to send his son to be born in Bethlehem, a little town with such an importance in the story of our lives. We see Jesus' humility here in verse 2, but in the same verse, we see his majesty. Look at the next line. For from you, one will come forth for me to be the ruler of Israel. The Messiah did not come for us, per se. The Messiah didn't come from himself. Jesus, the Messiah, he came for his Father to accomplish his purposes, his will. Not only that, because his purpose was to bring about God's purposes in our lives, to bring us peace. What were their purposes? In the near future and in the far future, the Messiah will accomplish something. He will be the ruler of Israel. And in a few years later of this event, it happened. He came to Bethlehem. But he was not a ruler the way that the world conceived that rulership. He was ruling in the hearts of men and women. He was ruling in the hearts of his followers. He was ruling in the people from Jews and Gentiles, those who were following him. But in the far distance, he will come back again and be the ruler of the universe. And that's the expectation. That's the anticipation that we need to have as a believers in Christ, that he will return, but this time in a different way that he came the first time. He will be coming with power and mighty. He will be imposing the perfect governance. And boy, how much we need a perfect governance in our lives today, right? Not only we see that he's coming with humility, that he's coming with majesty, but also in the same verse, we can understand that he is eternal. We can see his eternality. His times of coming forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. This is not just speaking about being a descendant of David, King David. This is way back before the foundations of the earth. So we move from the Messiah's humility to his majesty to his eternality. That is what Jesus is outside our space and our time. And this is one of the wonderful news that whatever is happening to you or to me, whatever is going on in our lives, in our families, in our jobs, in our situation, in the world, Jesus is out of this space and this time. He knows everything because he experienced almost everything. He understands what we're going through. He understands what we are about to. He has a heart for you. He has a plan for you. He's going to walk with you through these difficult times that you're living and reminding you that he cares for you. If you just trust him, if you just let to be the pilot of your own plane, your life. He is ready to comfort you if you just look up to him, if you seek him. Now in Micah 5:3, we move from the person of Christ to the program of Christ. We're going to see that God has a program that he is giving Jesus to fulfill. And most of the programs deal with the future, but there are present ramifications. The first one is this. He will reunite and restore the nation. In verse 3, we find one of the most confusing verses in the entire book of Micah. But that's the reason why many preachers, they don't like to preach about this one. But they gave me the task to preach it completely. Let's preach it within context. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Who is he? Who do you think is she? Well, we're talking about the prophecy of Micah, but that he is not the Messiah. That he, in the context we read, that is God himself, God the Father. Micah is telling us what God is telling him to tell the people of Israel. God will give them up until the time when she is not the Virgin Mary. She is the land of Israel, who she is in labor, has given birth. The word labor, when you read the verse prior, verse 4, specifically when you read Micah 4, 9 and 10, you learn that the word for labor is actually the word for discipline, for hardships. The way that God is dealing with his own people for the rebellious ways that they were departing from him. Yeah, he will let it go through those hardships. Like a woman giving labor is going through a tough time. But when that woman gives birth, it's a relief. That's how his people will have a relief, because he's sending Jesus to restore his own people. So we're looking at promise here. This is the reminder of Christmas, his coming. Then the reminder of his kinsmen will return to the sons of Israel. So in the midst of glory, there is some grime, some suffering, some grunge, some discipline. But that is because God loves us. Yes, we're going through a very difficult time right now. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, let Christmas remind you that he's still in control, that he kept you in his hands, that he is allowing you to go through that, but you're not alone. He's with you, and he will get you through this. But in the meantime, don't lose focus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That's why Christmas is important to remind ourselves. Is this not another sermon about Christmas? This is a reminder that God still is present in our lives today, regardless of the turmoils, regardless of the storms of our lives. Now, this verse is also pointing us to the future, to a time when Jesus will come back and he will be the ruler in what they call, the theologians call, the millennium. And for 1,000 years, he will be ruling this earth. And eventually, he will be ruling for eternity. In the next verse, we find the heart of this passage and how Jesus relates to you and me. Verse 4. He will care for his people and he will give them security. And he, now he's talking about the Messiah, he will arise as shepherd of his flock. Micah teaches that Jesus will arise. He already did when he came on Christmas Day. But he will arise one day as king and ruler of this earth and for eternity. Right now, the Messiah is standing. He has arisen. He will eventually bring heaven down to earth for you and me. But I want you to see what that verse 4 is telling us. He will shepherd his flock. He will be the true shepherd. What is the greatest need that Judah had at that time? What is the greatest need for the people of Israel had at that time? A shepherd. What is the greatest need that the people of Israel has right now? A shepherd, a true shepherd. What is our greatest need now? A shepherd, a true one. If you had time this Christmas season, I will encourage you to read Micah, specifically Micah 3, verse 1 to 11. The whole passage talks about Judah longing for a shepherd, a rescuer, somebody who can deliver them from the oppression. But one day their shepherd will make manifesto himself to them, and he will be irresistible to Israel even today. But now you and I anticipate shepherds, right? If you're single, for instance, you're hoping that when you get married, he or she might be the shepherd of your soul. If you are married, you discover that that was wishful thinking. But you understand what I'm talking about. It's not another person, the one who can be the shepherd that we're longing to find. Then we turn to the church, trying to find those shepherds who are leading the church. But if you trust in those shepherds, and I'm one of them, I may disappoint you. Because I'm not the true shepherd. He is the shepherd. And then when the church fails us, somewhere the leadership fails us, we turn to the government. And we think to find our shepherd. And then it's divided in opinions, who is the true shepherd? And we are disappointed again. And what happened later is we just lift up our hands in heaven and say, well, I'm going to be my own shepherd. And guess what? You also will be disappointed on yourself. Because no one is perfect. Only the true shepherd is the one who can guarantee us to be shepherding us, the good shepherd. You know what the Lord is saying? This Christmas season, let me be your shepherd. Don't just fix your eyes on what is going on in the political world, even in the world. Don't put your eyes in your own family, trying to find who is your rescuer. Look at me, says the Lord. I am the good shepherd. Get to know me. Trust me. Let me be your shepherd. You know, Christmas is good news. He's telling us the wait for Jesus is over. He came. And he's with us right now in his spirit, living in all of us who have been trusting in him. Micah continues saying, the shepherd will come in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain. The other word for remain in other translations is they will live securely. Because at that time, he will be great to the ends of the earth. Right now, most of the world, they don't recognize Jesus as the Lord and Savior. But one day they will. Every knee bow down. Every tongue will confess in any language that you can imagine that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But in the meantime, we just need to keep walking with our eyes fixing on that shepherd. Follow him. What is interesting is that we are looking forward to that time. But we get distracted so easily. That's why Micah is reminding us, the shepherd is coming. He will be shepherding your flock because the wait for Jesus is over. And lastly, he will be the source of peace, verse 5. This one will be our peace. Micah said this 700 years earlier, that the Messiah, the anointed one, will come. He will be our peace. He will be our shalom. That's the word for peace in the Old Testament. He will be our Irene. That's the Greek word in the New Testament. And the word is not just the absence of problems. The word peace means completeness. He will be the one who complete us. We all were created, according to the preacher Ecclesiastes, we were all created with a void in our hearts that only can be fulfilled with him, with God. We might be longing for things. We might be hungry for stuff. But unless we are satisfied in him, we're never going to be complete. Jesus came to complete us. He is the missing part in our entire lives. And he's here. He was born in Bethlehem, but he's here today. And you can enjoy him today, tomorrow, and the rest of your lives. True peace comes from knowing God's presence. He's always present. Never forget that. Yes, the Lord can give you peace. Yes, the Lord can make you experience that peace. But the most important is, he is our peace. He truly is our peace. True peace is not the absence of problem, but the presence of God, recognizing the presence of God. He will provide your peace. Peace will be with you. He promised to make peace between us and God, and through what he did on the cross of Calvary, through his sacrifice, through his death and resurrection, he is making a way for us to come to God the Father and be complete again with him, like in the beginning, before Genesis 3. He can make that peace between God and us as sinners. But he can give you peace, like he told the disciples, my peace I give you, my peace I will live with you. Not like the world, but this is a peace, a real peace, and you can have it if you trust me. So, why are you longing for something else? As the deer that pants for the waters, my soul is panting for something else. He is our shalom. He can satisfy us completely. Why we're trying to satisfy ourselves with something different, with something else, when he can complete us? I don't know what you think about regifting. I don't know what the ethics about regifting is, but I read an article that in America, 2 out of 3 Americans are regifters. Probably half of them do it. They receive a gift, and then because of monetary reasons or because they don't like the gift, they give it to somebody else. But the other half think about it, and that makes them a regifter as well, by heart. So we all regifting. My encouragement to you is just remember who is giving you the gifts. Imagine that if your mother-in-law is giving you something this year, and next year you decided to give the same gift to her, forgetting that she was the one who gave it to you. So just make a note in that gift that who gave it to you. You don't want to be in problems. But I'm saying this. The point is not about regifting if it's right or wrong. My point is that God is the great regifters of all. Because every single time, every Christmas, we hear this message over and over, that God is giving the same gift over and over and over for those who doesn't have the gift, and that gift is his son, Jesus Christ. And that's the gift that we need to learn how to give away, not keeping it to ourselves, because that will give us the sense of excitement and anticipation for what will happen in the future. Micah 7 tells us this. Remember what I told you at the beginning? What is the name Micah means? Who is like God? Well, he's asking, he's playing on words here. Who is a God like you? Who pardons wrongdoings and passes over a rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again take pity on us. He will trample on our wrongdoings. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. God never suffers amnesia. He knows exactly our wrongdoings, but he chooses not to remember when we, in an act of obedience, come to him, repent, and ask for his forgiveness. He then decides not to remember again. That's the meaning of forgiveness. It's not that, oh, I forget, but I don't forget. No. I know that you don't forget. That's what grace is all about. Forgiving those who doesn't deserve our forgiveness. We need to learn that God is the forgiver. He chooses not to remember a gift. That's what we need to look up to him. We need to grow in him. He alone is the source of real peace. Peace that comes by trusting in him. Have you ever flown in a plane in the middle of a storm? I have been. You know, I'm not afraid of flying. I'm okay. I'm a little cautious is when there is a lot of shaking all over, right? And you see the you know, luggage compartments open and some of the cups thrown over. That's a little scary sometimes. I read the story that there was a flight that was having some difficulties to keep the balance. There was a lot of turbulence happening. And everybody was, you know, some of them were crying, some others were a little nervous. So some of them were praying. Some of them were a little hesitant. Nobody was sleeping, definitely, except for one little kid who was totally at peace. He was drawing something on his little notebook with colors. He was drawing a little picture of himself in the tree and his dad and mom and everything. While everybody was kind of screaming and doing something, he was okay. The lady who was sitting next to him looked at him and says, "Aren't you scared?" And the little boy looked at her and says, "No." And he keeps drawing. And then she was curious and said, "Why you're not scared?" The poor lady was with her fingernails all the way in the seats. "Because my dad is a pilot." And he keeps drawing. Who is a pilot of your life? Now I understand why you're afraid. But Jesus is here. And that's the great news about Christmas. He wants to fly your life. He knows how to do it. Because he made you. And he's expecting you to land in a safe place because he is your peace. Would you trust him? Would you trust him today? In the midst of whatever is going on in the world, the Lord says, "My peace I give you. My peace I live with you." Trust God and enjoy that peace. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this reminder. And we want to honor you this Christmas in a different way. It has been a long year, Father. It has been a very stressful, difficult time. And everybody who's listening to me right now can concur that this has been one of the worst years ever. But if we focus ourselves in the problems that we have experienced, more in the God that created us, we can lose hope. But thank you for Christmas time, for reminding us that despite whatever is going on and how the world is seems like it's out of control, you are in control of our lives. You are the pilot of our souls. And we want to trust you today, Father. We want to honor you, remembering, Father, that if we place our faith in you and trust in your ways and obey your commands, Father, we can experience the true peace that comes from obedience. Because Christ is our peace. And it's in that peace, Father, that we want to leave this place. Recognizing, Father, that there is nothing that I can do. And you can do everything. Because, Father, if the only thing that I have is you the only thing that I need, truly. Thank you for Jesus, what he did on the cross, for coming and be obedient. Let me be like him. I accept the gift of Jesus today, Father. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen.